everybody. Welcome to episode 377 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
I'm Manny.
And this episode is future picks. So we usually like to do it way earlier. I think by now the deadline has passed for most comic shops to order any of the books in June for delivery in August. But that being said, we're still going to go through just because I feel it's worthwhile. Plus, if you order from DCBS, you still have probably another week or so, probably have until Monday. They usually don't reset their site until the Monday, the first Monday of the new month. So I think we will start with the regular book. I wanted to ask you though, Manny, how do you feel about the fact that Marvel's on its own, DC's on its own, and then everything else is in the regular previews catalog?
It honestly doesn't make too much of a difference to me. I mean, I'm still getting all the previews the same way. I thought when you had told me that DC had its own previews now, I thought maybe it'd be different, but it's just, especially now that you said it, that I'm seeing it digitally all for the first time, it really doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, I mean, Marvel had their own for a long time. DC finally followed suit. It's not that big of a deal, but at the same time, now, like, we're going to go through this preview catalog, and I've got three files open. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's even worse. It's even worse if you get the physical copies, right? It's like, just for the love of God, just put it all in one book. Stop being, like, confusing, but whatever. I mean, if it wasn't confusing, it wouldn't be comics. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, like, the one for, like, nothing against Marvel's previews, but, like, the one for DC, I mean, they have, like, Vertigo, and they have, now they have Jinx, and they have, and then you're adding the Sandman universe, and you're adding... I mean, they have so many other labels now also that I can see why DC would have theirs, because they have so many different sections now.
Yeah,
and if you have it all in the previews book, maybe it's a little bit confusing, especially when you're going to be adding in Zoom and you know, kids and all that.
Yeah.
So that's a little different,
Yeah, you're right. All right. Well, we'll start with the main book. Previews 375. Image is the first publisher now. And the first book they have listed is Leviathan from writer John Layman and art by Nick Patara and Michael Garland. And basically this guy went out to get beer for his party because he didn't buy enough. And while he was gone on a beer run, his buddies decided to bust out some mystical arcana and they accidentally summoned a giant monster from hell.
It
sounds interesting. The cover looks kind of cool. But when I look at the interior art, it's not really my thing. So, I don't know. I'll probably skip it, especially if Manny's going to read it. Then he can tell me if I'm missing out on something really worthwhile.
Yeah, just the little paragraph got me on that one.
Yeah.
I'll give it a shot. Why not?
Yeah, we also have a new number one over at Image from Cullen Bunn, who's a friend of the show, been on a few times. Art and cover by Mark Torres. Psychological terror, undead, supernatural, bitter cold come together in the spine-tingling new series. So that looks interesting. Cover's really cool. May have to check that out. Also, another number one from Image, Crowded number one from Christopher Sabella, friend of the show. Art and cover by Rose Stein and Ted Brandt. Colors by Triona Farrell. This looks really, really good. It's basically crowdfunding assassinations. So you want somebody to be killed. You like nominate them on this crowdfunding thing and then enough people donate, you know, dislike you basically. You can hire a killer to off the person. So Charlie Ellison leads a quiet, normal life until she's suddenly targeted by $1 million Reaper campaign. Hunted by all of Los Angeles, Charlie hires Vita, the lowest rated bodyguard on the Defend app. As the campaign picks up speed, they'll have to figure out who wants Charlie dead for the campaign's 30 day before the campaign's 30 days or their lives are over. So that sounds like sufficiently interesting in today's social media world. And you know, Christopher Sabella knocked it out of the park with Shanghai Red last week. So I'll definitely be checking out Crowded. Probably going to have him on the show to talk about it as well. Another number one, this one's a one shot. It's the Curse Word Swimsuit Special. Charles Soule Ryan Brown. Yeah, what more needs to be said? That's a really fun series. Let's see, what else is there from Image this week? I think that's probably it for number ones. They have, you know, their usual amount of trade paperbacks. There's an original graphic novel from Matt Hawkins and Rafe Ienko called Stairway that I'll definitely be checking out from Top Cow. Also, a couple series that I've been keeping up on. Analog is up to issue 5. Aphrodite 5 has issue 2 coming out in August. Anxiously awaiting issue 1 in July. Let's see what else from Image. We've got Cyberforce up to 5. You know, issue 4 comes out, I think, this Wednesday. So I guess they're skipping a month. We've got part 5 of The Dead Hand, which has been an incredible series. Have you been reading that, Manny? Dead Hand, Kyle Higgins?
No.
Oh, man, I need to hook you up with that. Death or Glory, number 4, from Rick Remender and artist Bengal. Issue 2 really kind of threw me. I'm not sure if I'm going to stick with that one. I'm going to give it one more issue to see if it holds up. I'm not reading East of West anymore, but that series from Jonathan Hickman and Nick Dragotis up to issue 39. May need to get back on that at some point. And Eclipse returns from Top Cow, Zach Kaplan, Giovanni Timpano. Zach spoke to me about that briefly at Denver Comic Con, and he'll be coming on to talk more in detail before final order cutoff. So that's definitely something I'm looking forward to. Let's see what else from Image. I guess Flavor number 4, Manny's been digging that.
Yep.
Gideon Falls, number 6, from Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino. You know, 2018 Eisner Award nominee Jeff Lemire. It's the conclusion. So end of the story arc. I don't know if the series is going to go on or if that's it. But it's the end of the story arc, The Black Barn, which has been at the center of that story. That's been, I mean, I've said it a ton of times, and maybe I should stop saying it because apparently I am a horror comic fan, because some of these books like Black Eyed Kids, Dark Arc, and now Gideon Falls really are it's just masterful storytelling.
There's been quite a few good horror books lately.
Yeah, so. 100%. Ice Cream Man's up to number 6. You want to say anything about that, Manny?
It just keeps getting me hooked, man. Like, they're just so weird, and then they're each issue so different from the previous one. I'm really enjoying it. Kind of like a really, really twisted, like, Twilight Zone, I'd call it. And so far, so good. I mean, it's either you really like it or you don't. There's kind of no real in between.
Isola, number 5, from Brendan Fletcher and Carl Kerschel. That's the most beautiful book on the stands these days, in my opinion. Number 5's out in August, end of the first story arc, so that'll be interesting to see how well that does in trade. I expect it to do quite well. We've also got the conclusion of Medieval Spawn and Witchblade, number 4, by Brian Haberlin and Brian Holguin. That's been an interesting series. First two issues have come out. First issue focused on Spawn, second issue focused on the Bearer of the Witchblade. So it's going to be interesting to see if in 3 they finally come together and we share some panel space with each other. Oblivion Song, number 6, from Robert Kirkman. This is also the end of the first story arc. I feel like this book came out like a year ago. I can't believe it's only on issue 6. I've only read the first issue. It was really, really good, so I need to get back on it. And the fact that I haven't been reading it as each issue comes out probably speaks to the fact that I wasn't aware that it must have skipped some months, being that it's only on 6. Port of Earth, number 8. I believe that concludes the story by Zach Kaplan, art by Andrea Moody. Very interested to see what
happens. Already?
7 and 8. Yeah, 7, we get a look inside the port for the first time. So anxiously awaiting that. And then see what happens in the conclusion with 8, because Zach's really kind of flipped the story on its head. If you listen to our Denver Comic Con chat, you'd know exactly what I'm talking about. Also, Rose, Volume 2 trade paperback, is coming out, written by Meredith Finch, art by Ig Guerra. And Meredith will be coming on. I spoke to her at Denver Comic Con. She'll be coming on to talk about Rose in more detail when it gets closer to that trade paperback being released. Let's see if there's anything else. Skyward continues to be really, really good, by Joe Henderson, Lee Garbett, Antonio Fabella. basically about what if all of a sudden one day the world lost 90% of its gravity. It's been really, really good. So I think based on the success, we should see more of this because issue 5 is the end of the first story arc. And I already mentioned Shanghai Red from Christopher Sabella, art and also story help by Joshua Hickson. It's basically pirates in the 1800s, and it's like a revenge story. So the first issue really exceeded all my expectations. We've got the return of Thief of Thieves with number 39, this time written by Brett Lewis and Sean Martinborough, still on the book, which is awesome because he's been the artist on it since the beginning. So I love the fact that all the Thief of Thieves is going to have a consistent artistic look just based on the fact that he did basically the whole series. And I guess that's it for Image. I should mention Witchblade 7 starts the second arc of that story. I really enjoyed it. We had Caitlin Kittredge on not too long ago to talk about the first arc and loved what she had to say about the story and how much she loved the original Witchblade. This is not that. Did hear from a few listeners here or there that didn't necessarily like it. We're big fans of the original. But you just have to take that and put it away, right? Like, the original's still there. This doesn't discount the original. This doesn't say that Sarah Pazzini never possessed the Witchblade. This is a totally different bearer of the Witchblade, a totally different thing. So I really encourage you to go and listen to Caitlin Kittredge's interview. Granted, it's not for everybody, right? Like, some people, they're just not going to like it. They loved the first go-round. They liked how kind of, I don't know, surface it was. Like, it was like action, popcorn movie kind of comic book storytelling where you didn't have to think too much. This is not that. This is much more in-depth, much more dealing with the emotions and the relationships that Alex Underwood has, the new bearer of the Witchblade. So it's a totally different thing, and it's not for everybody, and I get that, but I really enjoyed it. It took a little while to get going. I think probably issue 3 really caught on for me, and I got hooked. So if you haven't checked it out, I do recommend it. Witchblade number 7, written by Caitlin Kittredge, art and cover by Roberta Ingranata, starts a new story arc. So good time to jump on. Anything else from Image that I missed that you want to mention, Manny?
No, you got it all.
All right, do you have anything from Dark Horse? Because I got nothing.
I do, actually. Where'd it go? Oh, okay. So for Dark Horse, I have... Oh, God, why doesn't this work very well? Terminator Sector War. And that comes out. I'm trying to get over to it because my screen is...
On sale August 15th?
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Sorry. Brian Wood writing. So that alone got me excited because Brian Wood's a great writer. Jeff Stokely on artwork. And then, another Terminator story, and I'm a Terminator fan, so that's going to work for me. And then the other book, the series I've been in, another one, which is StarCraft Scavengers. That one's going to be a miniseries by Jody Hauser. So that's awesome. I used to always play StarCraft, so... To get a miniseries, this is issue 2 though, so obviously it starts in July, and so having Jody Hauser write this, I'm pretty excited to finally get to read it. And then the last thing I will mention is with Harrow County, it's going to be wrapping up. They're going to have volume 1 and then also volume 8 available. If you haven't read it, it's a really, really good series, and I highly recommend it. That's by Colin Bunn with artwork by Tyler Cook. So, very good series. I highly recommend it. I was looking at Dark Horse, it seems like they have quite a bit of just like licensed books, not too much original content there, is there?
Yeah, I mean, ever since they lost their Star Trek license, I feel like they've been trying to, like, find their spot. Like, they had a lot of Aliens books for a while. They have the license for Aliens. They had a lot of Predator books for a while. Now we're seeing Terminator, StarCraft, you mentioned. So I think they're a little bit searching for their identity. One good thing they do is they have Jeff Lemire's Black Hammer universe, which I've only heard like really, really good things about. And I have actually a lot of the early issues of that. And I do want to start reading it. It's just a matter of finding time. So that may be something they can kind of hang their hat on and expand. But I just don't see Jeff being able to write a bunch of it. I think he had a lot of it written ahead of time because they've been releasing a lot of it. But at some point, they're going to run out of the stuff that he's already written, and they're going to have to wait for him to produce more. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. All right, well, let's move on to IDW. You want to talk about licensed properties? Jeez, we've got a bunch of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comics. We've got a crossover with, what is it, Rick and Morty, and what's it crossing over with?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, that's right, Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, that's on my list.
Yeah. You know, Rick and Morty's put out by Oni Press, but I guess IDW has a license for D&D, so I'm sure all the Rick and Morty fans will be checking that out. The only IDW book I get these days is G.I. Joe, so I will mention that's up to $2.55 with a special trifold cover that looks amazing. Definitely want to pick that up.
I was going to ask you, how is that?
You know, it's Larry Hama, who's been writing G.I. Joe forever. It's not as – I don't enjoy it as much as I did when I was a kid. I think the writing's a little – I guess it's not as dynamic as it could be, you know? Like he's not breaking new frontiers in comic book storytelling or format, you know what I mean? I still enjoy it. So it's interesting. We've also got ROM, Cold Fire, Hot War. It basically collects all 14 of the issues of the ROM series, plus the 2017 annual and the ROM Revolution one-shot. So don't know what the future holds for ROM now that Chris Ryle's not over there anymore. I don't think it really sold that well. Plus, I'm just not sure what's going on with the Hasbro-verse over there, IDW, you know, in the first place, because you turn the page here, we've got Transformers Unicron number 3, and that's basically the story that's going to be the last Transformers story. Like, their universe is coming to an end, so that includes, you know, all their titles, Transformers, Optimus Prime, Lost Light. So I don't know. I mean, is it that they don't have the license anymore? Is it that they're doing a reboot? At this point, we just don't know. So be interesting to see. Also, we've got Star Trek: The Next Generation, Terra Incognita number 2. I'd never read a Star Trek: The Next Generation series until I read the recent Through the Mirror. And I was surprised how much I loved it. I mean, that's my favorite Star Trek series of all time. And it was great how the writers, the Tipton brothers, Scott Tipton and David Tipton, really were able to capture the voice of the show. And it's those same two writers writing here. So I'm going to be curious to see if another series can hold my attention when it's not one of those mirror universes stories that Star Trek's famous for, where, you know, it's parallel universe where all the evil versions of, you know, Picard and Riker and all that have goatees, and that's how you tell them apart from, you know, the other ones. Like the regular Deanna Troi looks like Deanna Troi like she did on the TV, and then the evil Deanna Troi has like a goatee, so you can tell the difference. So yeah, I'm gonna be curious to see if, I mean, that's such a great trope, like from way back in for the original series with Spock was the first one. And it's been used in other TV shows. They've done homages to it and this and that. So it'll be interesting to see if I can get behind a regular Star Trek series that's not the Mirror Universe stuff. And the licenses go on. We've got Judge Dredd. We've got X-Files. We've got Orphan Black. We've got Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, Sonic the Hedgehog, some Star Wars stuff, even though Disney, you know, is owned, or Disney owns Star Wars, and Disney owns Marvel, and they put out the main Star Wars. They have some Star Wars adventures books that come out from IDW, which is really interesting. And they're more aimed at kids. Also, their kids line, DuckTales. There's a Big Hero 6 book coming out. There's a Mickey and Donald Christmas Parade book. There's Descendants, which is another Disney property. Again, not sure why Marvel doesn't put it out. It's basically the kids of all the classic Disney characters, you know, like the kids of Maleficent and Belle and the Beast and the Evil Queen. And yeah, so they also have My Little Pony, Delta 3, number 4, Delta 13, rather, number 4. I've been reading that. It's been a little inconsistent so far. It hasn't blown me away. So we'll, I think it only is only 4 issues, so we'll definitely have to see how that ends. And then maybe the book I'm most looking forward to, this is actually number 3. So obviously I'm looking forward to number 1, which comes out in just a couple weeks. It's called Low Lifes by Brian Buccioletto, with art by Alexis Centenac, I believe is how you say the name. It's about Los Angeles underworld. This guy is playing, and he's kind of a loser. You know, he's on his last chance, and he's playing somehow he cons his way into playing a big poker game with at this crime boss. This crime boss puts on this poker game, and it's robbed. And trying to stay one step ahead of each other, and so it sounds kind of like heisty, sort of noirish. And I think Brian Buccioletto is a good writer, so I'll definitely be checking that out. And that's all I had from IDW. I mean, I kind of tried to touch on everything, as Manny was saying about Dark Horse. I feel IDW really is where the licensed stuff definitely shows up more often than not. Anything else you want to add, Manny? Any of the artists?
No, the only 2 books I had from IDW on my list was the Rick and Morty versus Dungeons and Dragons, and then the Judge Dredd Under Siege number 4. It's on issue 2 this month. Mark Russell, awesome writer. He's the one who did the Flintstones, and art by Max Dunbar. I just Judge Dredd's just cool. So that's what I had from there.
Yeah, and the artist editions this month, I mean, they used to do them once in a while. Now there's like multiple every month, and there's just no, like, maybe if you were a big fan of original art, you used to be able to keep up, but now it's like you really got to pick and choose, unless you just have money to burn, because they're usually about 150 to 200 bucks, and they're oversized, you know, they're like 11 and a half by 17 most of the time, so you're getting the artwork in the original size the artist drew it, and there's a cool Empire Strikes Back one with Al Williamson. I mean, that's just incredibly good stuff. There's also a regular Star Wars one. There's one of Jim Steranko's work from Nick Fury, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So that would be amazing to have original pencils of that. And then I'm sure a lot of people are going to be picking up the Frank Miller Daredevil Artifact Edition.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not as big of a Frank Miller fan as most people, but that would be something cool to have for sure. Moving on to Dynamite, they're really pushing their Project Superpowers this month with issue number 1 of 5 and about, I don't know, 75 different covers. They've also got a Project Superpowers number 0, which is like a prelude, gives you more information about it. And then I thought there was another project. I thought there was like a trade paperback. Maybe that was last month. So yeah, they're really pushing that this month, as well as something called Robots versus Princesses number 1, by written by Todd McCarthy and art by Nicholas Chappell. Don't have any idea what that's all about, but I don't know. They're definitely pushing it this month. All the Boys issues, I guess it went from Wildstorm to Dynamite back in the day. And I'm not sure why they're re-releasing now. Maybe because I think they're working on a TV show. So maybe they're trying to capitalize on that. So all 12 issues of the trade paperbacks are available once again for purchase, as well as some signed hardcovers. It looks like 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are available, signed by Garth Ennis. So if you're a big fan of The Boys, you should check that out. And that's all I really had for Dynamite. It wasn't anything that jumped out at me. Anything you want to mention from them, Manny?
Nothing from Dynamite.
All right, let's scroll through Dynamite stuff here. I'm not even sure who's up next. Oh, Boom. Yeah, there's not a whole lot here for Boom. They've got a new series by Matt Kent called Black Badge number 1 that kind of caught my eye. I'm not sure if I'll pick it up. It's illustrated by Tyler Jenkins, and it's pretty interesting. The Black Badges are basically a top secret elite branch of the Boy Scouts tasked by the government to take on covert missions. So I imagine if you were a Boy Scout back in the day, this might interest you. I won't be picking it up, but it's a cool idea.
Yeah, I like the idea of the story, but that artwork, I just don't know if I can. It's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, it's definitely Matt Kent on the cover there. Tyler Jenkins' art's a little cleaner on the inside. Also, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 30, written by Kyle Higgins, illustrated by Danielle DiNicolo. Power Rangers has been going gangbusters lately for Boom. They got a real hit on their hands there. Plus, we've got Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Shattered Grid number 1. So I think that wraps up the Shattered Grid event that's been going on. The other book that I want to mention from Dark Horse is Bone Parish number 2. I did order number 1. It's basically a drug that's been sweeping across the streets of New Orleans, and it's made from the bones of dead people. And it's Cullen Bunn. There's that name again, right? The guy writes great horror. So I'm definitely interested in checking that out. I've heard only good things about it, but I haven't had a chance to read issue 1 yet, as it's not out yet. But I'm sure if I shot Cullen an email, I could get a copy. But I think I'll just wait till it gets released and check it out. Also, Met Cadet U's Winding Down. That's been a great story, especially for kids, I think. I mean, it's about kids that have giant robots as pets, kind of. So you can't go wrong there. Written by Greg Pak, illustrated by Takeshi Miyazawa. And I think it ends with issue 12. So this is the penultimate issue. And that's it for me from Boom. Did you have anything else you wanted to add, Manny?
Yeah, I wanted to add the WWE Undertaker original graphic novel, written by Chad Dundas and illustrated by Rodrigo Lorenzo. Pretty much, it's just his legacy of 25 years, and he's one of my favorite wrestlers growing up. And I think it's going to be a cool graphic novel to pick up. And then another book I've really been enjoying is RoboCop. This is Rush number 5 by, well, look at that, Brian Wood again. illustrated by George Coelho. It's been a really good series. Kind of the same premise as every other RoboCop story with you know, like Omnicorp on their... You know, trying to take over Detroit, but as a fan of RoboCop, I just can't get enough. So that's it from Boom.
All right, moving on to the back of the book. Aftershock has volume 2 of Jimmy's Bastards. This will conclude the story. It's been really incredible. The last issue comes out next Wednesday, July 4th. So I'm really looking forward to that. Seeing how it all ends up. There's also quite a few number ones from Aftershock this month. We've got Beyonders number 1. It's basically crop circles and cryptography and exploring. I talked to Paul Jenkins about it. Think of it as a cross between like was the Da Vinci Code and like Raiders of the Lost Ark. So I'm really looking forward to checking that out. There's also Volition, and I should mention that I mentioned Paul Jenkins. It's the art's by Wesley St. Clair. Another number 1 from Aftershock, written by Ryan Parrott, with art by Omar Francia, Francia. And it's basically not too distant future. Artificial intelligence has spawned a race of robots, and they serve humanity. But at what point should they have like equal rights? At what point should they have their own, you know, be able to do things of their own volition, thus the title. So that looks really interesting to me. There's also Hot Lunch from writer Elliot Ray Hall and artist Jorge Fornes. And last time we had Mike Martz on the show, he was talking about this Midwestern noir series set in the harsh landscape of northern Minnesota. It's about a family, food, and the fight for survival. So classic immigrant story, Lebanese family kind of achieved the American dream by becoming largest distributors of vending machine sandwiches in the upper Midwest. But then the mob comes to town and yeah, things go sideways from there. I'll run through the rest of Aftershock's titles because I think they're all quality. Baby Teeth is up to number 13 by Donnie Cates and Gary Brown, Relay has issue 2 coming out in August. Anxiously awaiting issue 1. The zero issue free comic book day was amazing. That's by writer Zach Thompson and incredible art by Andy Clark. Really, really looking forward to that. A Walk Through Hell is up to issue 4, written by Garth Ennis. Creepy art by Goran Suzuka. That series has been just wow. Evolution 8 by Marguerite Bennett. We've got Clan Killers number 2 by Sean Lewis. Lost City Explorers number 3 from Zach Kaplan. Incredible art by Alvaro Sarenseca. First issue of that was great, so I'm very curious to see how it continues. We've got Brothers Dracul from Cullen Bunn, name we've heard before tonight, and Mirko Kolak on art. Dark Arc number 9, also from Cullen Bunn, with art by Juan Doe. Her Infernal Descent, I believe, comes to a conclusion. I think it's only 5 issues. That's written by Lonnie Nadler and Zach Thompson, with art by Kyle Charles. And then Pestilence, Story of Satan, number 4. I think there's 5 issues in this series. It's by Frank Thierry, with art by Oleg Okunev. And that's been sufficiently disturbing, I'll say, for the first couple issues. That crazy Frank Thierry, man. Only he could come up with something. Basically, the whole idea behind Pestilence is, so what if the Black Plague, the bubonic plague, the Black Death, whatever you want to call it, in Europe in the Middle Ages wasn't really an outbreak of disease? What if it was a zombie outbreak? That's the premise, and it goes from there. In trade, Aftershock has Volume 1 of Backways from Justin Jordan and Eleonora Carlini. And that does it for Aftershock. A lot of really, really good titles there. Anything you want to add about Aftershock, Manny?
You mean besides that, all their books are amazing?
Yeah, they're quality for sure. Up next, I guess I'll mention Aspen Comics. They've got a few. Actually, before I get to Aspen, there's one that caught my eye called Rags from Antarctic Press. A terrorist attack at the border of California unleashes a devastating zombie plague across the state. One of his survivors is troubled former USMC veteran Regina Rogowski. Trapped in the small town of Paso Robles, she seeks the key to her survival, food, shelter, and most importantly, pants. And I have to admit, part of the reason it caught my eye was this cover by, I guess it's by Luigi Teruel, who does the interiors as well. It says mature readers, but yeah, she's, I mean, her nickname obviously is Rags because of, you know, her last name is Rogowski, but on the cover, she's wearing just like a bikini. I guess maybe it's supposed to be underwear. Like, she got caught when the plague started, you know, without her clothes, but she's like all tatted up with like guns and American flags and whatever, you know, from being a Marine. And the art just looks really, really cool. I'm kind of over the whole zombie thing. The other episode that comes out today, Hunt for Wolverine, deals with zombies as well. So Nick and I think we said the word zombie in that episode about 1,000 times, but I'm not sure. I'll check it out. In a way, it looks a little like gratuitous, but I'm curious enough about this character based on what she looks like with the tattoos and everything that maybe I'll give it a try. We'll see. I guess I should mention Archie too before I get to Aspen Comics, only because they're doing an Archie Batman 66 crossover, and issue 2 comes out in August. Did you know about that crossover, Manny?
No, actually, this is the first time I heard about it.
I know what a Batman 66 fan you are, so I thought I'd mention it.
It's a good series.
All right, so from Aspen, we've got Artifact 1, number 0. New series, supposed to be the most ambitious epic series that Aftershock's ever done. It's written by JT Kroll, so that automatically piques my interest. We've got Awakened Skies, another new number one. The story's by Frank Mastromorro with pencils by Marco Lorenzana. Really, really cool looking art in this one. Basically about a girl who is in high school and she discovers she has the ability to fly, but her life takes on new meaning, but high school's, you know, tough enough without having powers and wings. So I imagine it's going to be exploring that. The New Way number 2, which JT Kroll talked about last time he was on the show, basically giant wrestlers and gladiator arenas fighting. So I'm very, very curious to check that out. And also Fathom number 3, the kind of the relaunch of it, written by Ron Mars with art by Saya Ohm, continues with number 3. I'm very curious to see Ron Mars' take on Fathom. Anything that you wanted to mention, Manny, from Aspen?
No, nothing from Aspen.
Avatar, I'll just mention Uber Invasion, continues to be really good, by writer Kieran Gillen. And I don't think I have anything else from the back of the book for quite a while. You have anything else from these smaller publishers, Manny, before we get to Valiant? Because obviously we'll mention them.
No, I don't.
I'm just skimming through real fast and to see if anything else caught my eye. I know. Oh, there's a book from a company called Insight Editions, DC Comics Anatomy of a Metahuman hardcover, written by S.D. Perry, Matthew K. Manning, cover art by Ming Doyle. And it basically explores the powers of DC Comics' greatest characters like never before through stunning anatomical cutaways and in-depth commentary. So yeah, looking at the art, it's basically like medical grade illustration. You know, like if you've ever seen medical textbooks, the way they draw like the musculature and the, you know, the bones and nerves and all that. So getting kind of scientific about it. It looks really cool. So that would be an interesting addition to a lot of people's comic collection, or look great on the shelf as well. Let's see if I saw anything else. You did mention from Oni, Rick and Morty. There's also another book from Oni. Again, it's that Cullen Bunn guy, and it's Shadow Roads number 2 of a 10-issue maxi series. And this is in the same universe as his sixth gun series, or six gun series. So fans of that should definitely be aware that that new title's coming out, set in the same universe, but it starts in July. So you probably want to let your retailer know if you're interested in checking that out. Also from Random House, there's a couple of prose books. There we have Catwoman Soul Stealer hardcover, and we have Batman Nightwalker hardcover and Wonder Woman Warbringer hardcover. So again, prose books, probably like young adult as far as the target audience for that. But I know some people, you know, like the characters but don't like sequential story. I know it's crazy, but my wife's a perfect example. You know, she loves to read novels. But the reason she doesn't like comics is because she likes to be able to imagine what's happening and imagine what people look like kind of on her own, as opposed to being spoon-fed it by what the artists choose to depict on the page. So, again, I know it's kind of crazy, but if you're interested, if you fall into that category, which if you fall into that category, you're probably not listening to this anyway, but maybe if somebody you know falls into that category, you can get him one of those hardcover books. Did you have anything from Titan, Manny? Doctor Who, or...
Yeah, I looked through it. No, I've never been into Doctor Who.
Yeah, I haven't either. I did see that there's a new Assassin's Creed title coming out, though.
Yeah, not big into that one either.
All right, well, let's move on to Valiant, then. What has you excited from them this month?
Valiant, let me take a look.
I mean, I think the obvious one is right there on their first page of their section.
Yeah, Harbinger Wars 2, number 4. This is going to be the end of that miniseries. And then also, oh, sorry, let me get to it really quick. Because...
Is it Ninja K number 10 with the Mad Max looking cover?
Yeah, that's going to be good too. I just wanted to get to it so I can, I should know the the creative teams off the top of my head, but I don't.
It's Christos Gage, and for the first time, artist Larry Stroman, comics legend, they call him.
Oh, yeah.
Doing his first Valiant work, but part man, part machine, all ninja, introducing Ninja H, MI6's Super Spy Commando. So Robert Myers was actually talking about this at Denver, talking about just how I think the way they described him is Ninja H is kind of like War Machine to Iron Man.
You know? That's cool.
So if you think of Ninjak as Iron Man, and you know, War Machine is even like more tricked out with, you know, weaponry. Yeah, that's Ninja H. He's even more tricked out with weaponry than.
The one thing I will mention, because this is another one of those jumping on points, is that Valiant offers the pre-order bundles, and those are pretty cool. They come with different covers, and they come with a lot of little extra goodies in there. Like, behind the scenes looks at some of the panels, commentaries, and a couple of other things that you don't get in the regular book. So, if you're going to read it anyway, you might as well get the pre-order bundle and get you a little bit of extra stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. Also, we should point out from Valiant this month, Bloodshot number 12. It's the end of Bloodshot Salvation and the end of Jeff Lemire's run on the character, at least for now. So be remiss if we didn't mention that. So anything else from Valiant?
Yeah, actually, XO18, Matt Kent and Trevor Harrison. It's I never thought of myself as really enjoying XO as much as I have since this run. And I've really enjoyed it. So that's one. And then a surprise one for me, maybe it's because I've been sharing it with my daughter and with one of my good friends. He is also a Valiant High, Daniel Kibblesmith and Derek Charm. It's been really cool because they've really enjoyed it, and I've really enjoyed seeing the Valiant characters in a different light. So that's going to be issue 4 of 4. For that miniseries, so it's been fun.
All right, next up, we'll jump on to Marvel, but before I just wanted to mention we skipped Tomorrow's, and they have several good things as they always do, but I specifically wanted to mention back issue number 108 is an Aquaman special. So movie's coming up soon. If you want to know everything there is to know about Aquaman, definitely check this out. It says, swim through Bronze Age Aquaman team-ups and merchandise, post-crisis Aquaman, Aqualad from Titan to Tempest, Black Manta villain history, Peter David and Esteban Morado's Atlantis Chronicles, and Greatest Stories Never Told looks at the original Aquaman 57 and the unproduced Aquaman animated movies. So we've got Jim Aparo, Jim Calafiore, Martin Eglund, Keith Giffen, Dick Giordano, Robert Lauren Fleming, Craig Hamilton, Ken Hooper, Dan Juergens, Sean McLaughlin, Kurt Swan, and more. So it's a real who's who of Aquaman creators. I'll definitely be picking that up. We've been toying with the idea of doing an Aquaman spotlight for a really long time. Maybe that'll be exactly the resource we need to finally get it done. All right, let's move on to Marvel. I think, obviously, the big book this week, or this month, rather, coming out in August, is The Return of the Fantastic Four, because you demanded it. So here's the thing, right? So just about every single Marvel book this month has a Fantastic Four variant, and that some of them are so cool. Basically, what they've done is they've gotten some of the greatest comic artists working in the medium today to do these variant covers, but they're not just like, okay, draw the Fantastic Four, you know, Mr. Fantastic, Invisible Woman, Torch, and Thing. What they've done is like assign them like, okay, you have this era of the Fantastic Four. You have this era of the Fantastic Four. You have this era of the Fantastic Four. So sometimes Thing is not there. Sometimes it's She-Hulk. Do you remember those really popular Art Adams covered Fantastic Fours in like the late 90s where the Fantastic Four, for whatever reason, became like – it was Wolverine, I think the Gray Hulk, Spider-Man, and Ghost Rider. That was the Fantastic Four for a while. So somebody has that team. And there's no way I can afford to get all of them. I mean, maybe DCBS has a bundle, but still, I mean, I don't want all of them. But man, I could see this being an expensive month if I decide to dip into a few of these covers. Plus, in the catalog, the Marvel catalog, there's new designs, new costume designs by Sarah Pacelli, which look pretty interesting. And then there's also some variant covers for Fantastic Four number one by Art Germ. I love his art. I think The Thing and the Human Torch one look really, really great. So, I mean, I don't even know how many. There's an Alex Ross variant. So many. It's going to be tough to pick. There's a variant cover by Sarah Pacelli herself that looks really great. So I'm, you know, here I am talking about all these great covers. I haven't even mentioned anything about what the story's about. I think I'm more interested in the covers and this is incredible artwork than I necessarily am in the Fantastic Four returning. I mean, it's
That's Dan Slott.
It's Dan Slott, so kind of interested to see where he goes. I mean, but mostly I'm interested in these covers, man. I mean, there's an Art Adams connected wraparound cover for issues one and two that's absolutely amazing as well. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what cover I'm going to get or which of these variant covers I'm going to get. There's an Amazing Spider-Man number 3, Return of the Fantastic Four, cover by Steve Epting, where the Fantastic Four is in like black and white that looks amazing. There's a Rob Liefeld variant. Probably pass on the Liefeld. That's Medusa having taken Invisible Woman's place. There's a
Mark Brooks cover.
Yeah, I may have to get the Mark Brooks cover. There's the Avengers number 6 has a Return of the Fantastic Four variant by John Cassidy, which is actually Fantastic Five because it's got the original four members plus She-Hulk. Yeah, the Travis Charest cover's great. Chris Sprouse covers like just his pencils, looks amazing. David Aja one's pretty classic. It's actually the cartoon. So for those who aren't familiar, the Fantastic Four cartoon didn't have Human Torch because supposedly the TV executives were scared that kids would set themselves on fire to try to be like the Human Torch. Like, really? You're worried kids are going to set themselves on fire? So Human Torch was replaced with Herbie, the robot. So that cover by David Aja has that. Yeah, the Mark Brooks one's just is really cool because that was when Reed and Sue took a leave of absence and they were replaced with Storm and Black Panther. So it's not my favorite era of Fantastic Four, but it's Mark Brooks. So, you know, I support everything that guy does, so I'll definitely be picking that one up. So there's the team that I was talking about with Wolverine, Spider-Man, Grey Hulk, and Ghost Rider by Art Adams. That's a really cool looking one. The Steve McNiven one's funny. Ben Grimm's actually wearing a Thing costume and he had it pulled off by Human Torch. Power Fist is on that one as well. We've got a Return of the Fantastic Four variant on Marvel 2-in-1 number 9 by Alan Davis. This looks classic. The Phil Noto one looks very Marvels. If you're familiar with that Alex Ross series, classic series from back in the early 90s, that one looks really like, what if these people actually existed? This is what they would look like, at least in the 50s and 60s. So that one's really interesting. Let's see. I also think the Adam Hughes one looks really good. That's another period when Sue Richards had taken a leave of absence and she was replaced by Crystal from The Inhumans. The J. Scott Campbell one is so 90s when they gave Invisible Woman that terrible costume in the late 90s where she was basically wearing a bikini with like a four cutout. There's like a boob window a la Power Girl. And Thing had mutated further, and so he was covering his face with a helmet. But it looks really good. I mean, it's J. Scott Campbell, but man, that Invisible Woman costume, so bad. So bad. So yeah, a lot of different variant covers. I wish you luck on choosing. We've also got Extermination number 1 and 2. I'll be picking this up, not because I'm necessarily that interested in what's going on. It's basically a storyline about the original 5 X-Men. For those not aware, the original 5 X-Men have traveled forward in time. This was like 3 or 4 years ago. Traveled forward in time and they've been existing in the regular universe. So Cyclops, Beast, Marvel Girl, Iceman, and Angel. But something happened where they think, okay, maybe it's time to return to our own time. But it may be too late. They're finding themselves targeted for death, and the future of mutant kind lies squarely in the hands of the past. So yeah, I'm not really necessarily that interested in checking out the story. I mean, it sounds relatively interesting. It's written by Ed Brisson with art by Pepe Larraz. But again, it's those Mark Brooks covers that are going to have me picking it up for sure, because they look really, really incredible, both for issue one and issue two. Infinity Wars number 1 and 2 of 6 also comes out in August. I haven't been following the Infinity stuff. I'm Infinity'd out at this point. So I don't really have much to say about that, but just be aware if you are a big Infinity fan. We've also got a new West Coast Avengers number 1. It's a hard pass for me. I love the classic West Coast Avengers stuff, but this is a little too out there for me with Gwenpool and two different Hawkeyes. Yeah, like I said, hard pass. We have a new Punisher starting from writer Matthew Rosenberg. And Ricardo, art by Ricardo Burchiella, I think is how you would pronounce that. So Matthew Rosenberg's a really underrated writer, really up and coming. So I could see him really catching fire. And don't sleep on Punisher number 1 if you're a Rosenberg fan. We've got a Wakanda Forever Avengers 1 if you're a fan of the movie. I guess check that out. Venom number 1, First Host by Mike Costa and Mark Bagley. A lot of Venom stuff going on right now. There's also some event called Spider-Geddon that's coming, as opposed to Armageddon. And we've got Edge of Spider-Geddon 1 and 2 of 4 getting us ready for that series, written by Jed McKay. Web of Venom, Venom. Donny Cates, Juanan Ramirez, basically Venom in Vietnam. Again, I'm seriously getting Venomed out at this point, and I don't understand how Venoms were on Earth before Spider-Man brought the black costume. I'm over the retcon of Venom at this point, so enough said about that. Hunt for Wolverine, Dead Ends, number 1, Charles Soule, Ramon Rosanas on art. This is the other bookend, the first one being Hunt for Wolverine one-shot. This is Hunt for Wolverine number 1, Dead Ends. And in between, you've got those four miniseries of 4 issues each. So this kind of wraps it all up and leads into the return of Wolverine. And it even says right here, the hunt for Wolverine is over. Now the time has come to put the pieces back together and see what they learned. So definitely be picking that up. You said you were into the new Avengers, Manny. I can't get over... Like, I like Ed McGuinness art most of the time, but I the fact that it has Robbie Reyes, who, again, we all know how I feel about that, and that She-Hulk, I mean, it just, that looks wrong to me. And that's enough to keep me from reading the book. Well, that and the fact that I read too many books.
Like, I love Robbie Reyes on it. The fact that he's on it,
I know that's a bonus for you.
And I mean, you're a ghost
writer. What do you think about the way
She-Hulk on there? Like, the reasons why you don't like it are the reasons why
I have a problem with She-Hulk. I love She-Hulk as a character, but whoever this thing, whatever this thing is that Ed McGuinness is drawing, that's not She-Hulk. I don't know what that thing is. It looks like somebody who's taken far too many steroids. It doesn't look. I mean, the cool thing about She-Hulk is that she's super strong, but she still looks feminine. This just looks like a dude with long hair.
Yeah, well, that's Ed McGuinness for you. That's his interpretation of
She-Hulk. I don't. Yeah, I mean, his art usually. I mean, everybody else looks great. I don't understand what is he doing the way he's drawing She-Hulk. I just don't. I don't get it. There's a new Iron Man or a new Captain America series by Ta-Nehisi Coates. Issue 2's out. Really cool Alex Ross cover. The Tony Stark Iron Man number 3.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Dan Slott, he said you enjoyed the first issue. I haven't read the first issue of that. Variant cover by Mobius. So obviously Mobius has been dead for a really, really long time. They're pulling out this old piece of Iron Man work that he did way, way back in the day. And actually, fun little tidbit, this is one of Jim Lee's favorite pieces of comic art. Al Ewing and Joe Bennett bring us Immortal Hulk number 4. Number 1 was really, really good. So I'm very much looking forward to continuing to read that. And I think that's the last thing I wanted to mention. I mean, Spider-Man's up to issue 3. You know, the aforementioned Donny Cates on Venom. We got a Spider-Man annual. We've got a Cosmic Ghost Rider number 2 from Donny Cates, which number 2 of 5. Daredevil annual number 1. Regular Daredevil from Charles Soule is up to 606. Moon Knight 198. Max Bemis, Jason Burrows. Pretty good. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Anything else you want to mention, Manny? Ant-Man Wasp or...
Nope, nothing.
Sentry, Black Panther. Yeah, I mean, I feel like Marvel's finally on the upswing, but they're still not where they need to be. But I feel like there's been more of more good stuff than bad lately, which hasn't always been the case with Marvel. All right, I guess we should move on to DC. Man, this is going to be an expensive month. That's all I got to say. I've been putting off doing my order for exactly that reason, but I really need to get on the ball and get it entered. So let me ask you, what are you most excited about from DC?
Oh boy. Most excited? That's quite the question there, because there's a lot of good stuff. I'll mention that I'm really interested in those two new series by Brian Michael Bendis. Hell number 1 with him, obviously, and with art by Michael Gatiss. That looks really good. Interesting. I'd be interested to see what that's all about. And then he also has another book coming out, Scarlet number 1, with art by Alex Malev.
Malev, yeah. So,
Malev.
Yeah, Scarlet is not a new series. So I'm not sure if they're going to reprint the old stuff, but it does say in the solicitation, in this brand new reader-friendly chapter, fully painted by Eisner Award-winning artist Alex Malev. Scarlet is a property that's been around before, whereas Pearl is brand new. So, yeah, these are both from Brian Michael Bendis's Jinx World imprint. Basically, it's his creator-owned imprint at DC. So,
I'm gonna say though that the one book that's actually pretty interesting. And I'm like, you know what? This is going to make a little bit more sense now. And I kind of like the direction of it is Supergirl 21. And it's with Supergirl on the hunt for Robo-Zarl. And like that fits way better than what they're doing with Man of Steel. So that looks pretty interesting. And yeah, it's definitely going to be quite different than what they had been doing before with Supergirl.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
I'm kind of done with all the Looney Tunes crossovers. Like there was one that was like hands down home run, and that was Tom King's Batman Elmer Fudd, and then the rest of them were just kind of like whatever. And then I opened this one, and then you have Catwoman and Tweety and Sylvester, Harley Quinn and Grosshammer. Yeah.
Did you read Brian Edwards Hill's Black Lightning Hung Kong Fooey?
No, I didn't.
Oh man, that was so good. You missed out on that one. You remember, you might be too young for this, but do you remember back in the day on Saturday afternoons, Channel 26 used to show Kung Fu Theater?
Yeah.
Do you remember this? Like it was always the Japanese like samurai or Japanese martial arts movies that were dubbed in English. You know, so the words and lips wouldn't match. So it was like the cheesiest martial arts stuff from like the 70s.
But they're fun.
That feel like the, that nostalgia was exactly what I felt while I was reading Black Lightning Hung Kung Fu. It was really, really good.
If you can capture that, then it's definitely worth the read.
Yeah, it was awesome. The art was by Dennis Cohen, so, you know, can't go wrong there. And Bill Sienkiewicz did some of the art as well, so it was really cool. I'll mention from DC, we've got Adventures of the Super Sons, number one, written by Peter J. Tomasi, art by Carlo Barberi and Art Taber. So for all you Super Sons fans who were sad when it got canceled because of Brian Michael Bendis taking over Superman Corner of the Universe, I guess this is giving Tomasi a way to end the story on his own terms. Also, Sandman Universe number one. I may check this out just based on the kind of the importance of it. You know, it's kicking off a whole new universe of like Sandman related material. So I'm not a huge Sandman fan, but I may check that out. Manny already mentioned the two Bendis Jinx World titles. What do you think of this Batman and the Justice League manga volume one? It's a new original manga, like in the traditional manga style even. It's like it's going to be published in the original manga right to left format. So you for America, it would be like an American, you'd be like you're starting at the back of the book. And apparently it's by this really popular manga creator, I guess you'd say, Shiori Teshiragi.
I'm not into manga at all. So
I'm not either. But the reason I pointed it out is it just me or in this art is Superman's head like three times too small?
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
It looks so weird. Like I'm flipping through, you know, Wonder Woman looks whatever. It's a manga version of Wonder Woman. Batman, same thing, manga. But
no, do you notice how like disproportionately big Batman is too? I mean, like, he looks like stretched out. It's weird.
Yeah, he is pretty stretched out, but I just took that as him being closer to us. But at least his proportions relate to each other. You know, same thing with Wonder Woman. Like her arms look like the right length based on her torso and her head. Whereas when you look at Superman, like his head is the size of one of his like pectoral muscles. It's way too small. And
his head is almost as big as his fist.
Yeah. his fist is the same size as his head. He's like one of those shrunken head guys from Beetlejuice. It just does not work. Let me mention a new Batman number one, Kings of Fear. I'm mentioning this because it's got Kelly Jones art. I know there's a section of Batman fans out there who Kelly Jones is it for them. So I don't know. I imagine it's a limited series. It doesn't say. But it's all about the Scarecrow, and it's written by Scott Peterson. We've also got the Supergirl that Manny mentioned, Mark Andreyko, art by Kevin Maguire. And what's cool about this new Supergirl storyline that's going on that Andreyko is going to be telling is apparently Supergirl's getting a bunch of new costumes throughout the series based on what her needs are as she travels through space. Because I'm digging that new costume, man, with the black and the red sash. It looks awesome. Covers are by Terry Dodson, who,
you know, awesome.
Yeah, he's incredible at drawing female heroes. There's also a variant cover by Amanda Connor. I'm very, very curious to see where that goes. And then you mentioned the Looney Tunes crossovers. I do like the cover of this one. This makes perfect sense to cross over Catwoman, Tweety, and Sylvester. I may check that one out. I'm really looking at that by Emmanuel Lupacino. I mean, look at Sylvester. I mean, she's drawing Sylvester as if he's a real cat. Same with Tweety, as opposed to their animated counterparts. So that's really cool. You mentioned the Harley Quinn Gossamer. I may check that one out only because it's Jimmy and Amanda. And Jimmy was talking about how much fun they had doing it. And Joker, Daffy Duck, Scott Lobdell, art by Brett Booth and Norm Ratman. So that's the dream team on art right there. And I can't really think of a better person to sick Daffy Duck on because he's just annoying as heck as the Joker. And then I definitely have to pick up the Lex Luthor Porky Pig special just because of the story set. So Porky Pig is the cover is weird. Don't get me wrong. The cover is weird by Ben Oliver, like trying to draw like a photorealistic Porky Pig. Yeah, that doesn't work at all. although I love Lex Luthor's plaid purple and green suit. But the fact that it's art by Brad Walker, right, and it's written by Mark Russell, you know, and we all know what a great writer he is. Yep. Porky Pig gets an entry-level position at LexCorp, and then later when Lex is called before a congressional committee about a couple scandals in the company, guess who's offered up as a sacrificial pig? So I love that. I love that storyline. So I'm definitely going to be checking that out. There's a Sync Atlantis story arc going on in Suicide Squad. So that's interesting. We've got a new writer on Batgirl with number 26, Marguerite Scott, with art by Paul Pelletier, who's a very underrated artist. Looking forward to that. Marguerite Scott also has the Batman Annual 2 with art by Elena Casagrande. And it looks like we're going to see the return of James Gordon Jr., who is nobody that Batgirl is ever happy to see. Fallout from the wedding, you would think, would be happening in the issues following Batman 50. But no, it's not even mentioned. It's part of the reason that makes me think that maybe they're not getting married. But I don't know anything. I didn't even ask Tom last time I saw him. Not that he would have told me. And I wouldn't have wanted him to tell me. But anyway, it's Lee Weeks is doing the Batman art for this new Cold Days story arc, written by Tom King, and variant covers by Olivia Coppel. Batwoman comes to an end with Batwoman 18, written by Marguerite Bennett, art by Fernando Blanco, covered by Dan Panosian. That title, even though it's canceled, has been really, really good lately. Joelle Jones on the Catwoman title. She has her own book once again. Issue 2 comes out in August. She's handling the art and the cover. And that cover is awesome. And I'm also very curious to see what the variant cover looks like because it's by Art Germ. So I guess we'll have to wait and see on that one. Cyborg is solicited in here with 25, written by Marv Wolfman and art by Tom Derenick. But it actually got canceled with 23. Which apparently ended on a cliffhanger. I haven't been reading Cyborg in a while, but 24 and 25 have been canceled. So just so you know, if you see it in the book, don't order it because you're not going to get it. We've got Damage number 8 by Robert Venditti with art by Diogenes Neves and Trevor Scott. And it's that's been a really good title, one I think is flying under the radar a little bit. And we also have a Damage Annual number 1 coming in August. Same creative team. Covered by Aaron Lopresti, and it's more of the origin. It's telling kind of what happened to Ethan Avery as he was a soldier that led him to volunteer for the project that made him into Damage. We've also got Deathstroke 34, written by Christopher Priest, art by Carlo Pugulian and Jason Paz. Part 5 of Batman versus Deathstroke. Have you been reading that, Manny?
Nope. I need to catch up on that.
Yeah, I've been hearing good things. I haven't read it. Nick's been telling me it's really, really good. Brian Edward Hill, Detective Comics, 986, 987. So 983 comes out this week, or is it 984? Do you remember?
That is
983. Yeah, 983. It's Brian Edward Hill's first work on Batman. If you only buy one book this week, you have to buy Detective Comics 983. There's no question. It's not up for debate. If you only buy one comic this week, it's got to be Detective Comics 983. It was so good. You know, we had Brian on the show. He talked about it and kind of like, yeah, that's a cool take on it, whatever. It's so far beyond. Like, he didn't even touch on, like, the main theme that he's exploring. And I think he didn't want to spoil it, right, for all our listeners, which is great. I totally appreciate that. But I love the idea that he's exploring, and I'm not going to spoil it either. But that book was so absolutely amazing. And the art by Miguel Mendoza? Is that how you say that?
Mendoza?
I don't know. The C has a little tail on it, so I didn't know if you were supposed to pronounce it a different way.
I was excited because I thought Eddie Barrows was going to do the entire book for 986, and he's just doing the cover.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they keep Brian Edward Hill on Detective after this run, because the first issue was amazing. Plus, it's got Mark Brooks variant covers, man. So, ooh. I mean, like, I need another excuse to pick up that book. A couple of my favorite creators. Yeah, definitely pick up 983 this week, and be sure you're pre-ordering all the rest of Brian Edward Hill's Detective. You will not regret it. The Flash War continues in the Flash 52 and 53 with art by Joshua Williams. Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back. It has ended. It's Grips of Strength story arc starting. So I guess Flash War concludes in 51. So the book continues to be written by Joshua Williamson, who's written it since Rebirth started, with art by Christian Ducé. Not familiar with his art at all. So I wouldn't have mentioned that. I didn't realize that the Flash War had concluded. Green Lanterns. Dan Jurgens is on Green Lanterns. Now, I think, I'm not 100%, but I think that Green Lantern is one of the characters that Dan told me once upon a time that he still would like to do a proper run on. I think he mentioned Green Lantern and Flash as two characters where he's written them for various times in other books or whatever, crossover or in a Justice League book here or there or whatever, but he's never like had a run on their book. So I don't know how long Green Lanterns is going to go. I don't know how long Hal Jordan's going to be in the Green Lanterns book, because it's not really his book. It's more Simon and Jessica. But he's writing 52 and 53 with art by Mike Perkins. So definitely have to check that out. Meanwhile, in the book that's named after him, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, issue 50, this should wrap it up, right? Exercise anniversary celebration. One of the biggest battles the Green Lantern Corps has ever fought. So yeah, it's Robert Venditti going out with a bang. Can't wait to see what happens between him and the Dark Stars. We've also got the grand finale of Harley versus Apocalypse in Harley Quinn, written by Sam Humphries, art by John Timms and Sammy Basri in Harley Quinn 47, 48. Sam Humphries is so excited to take Harley Quinn to Apocalypse, and he swears up and down it's really going to make sense. So, I guess we'll see. speaking of Robert Venditti, Hawkman number 3, issue 1 totally blew me away, exceeded all my expectations. And my expectations were high because it's Robert Venditti, my writer of the year for 2017. So great variant covers by Stepan Sejic as well. Can't wait to read more Hawkman. I wish that was a book that came out twice a month. And I think that's all. I guess I should mention Justice League number 5 and 6 because, you know, it is an important book and we are doing Justice League spotlights. And I also want to mention it because James Tynan, the 4th, is actually writing issue 5. Which is a spotlight on Luthor and the Legion of Doom. And then regular series writer Scott Snyder returns on issue 6. So that may, the issue 5 and 6 may mark the end of our Justice League spotlights, because I feel like it's going to get to the point where, although important, it's not as like groundbreaking, must read kind of stuff as issue, you know, 1 through 6 is. It'll probably settle down a little bit. Also, Justice League Dark number 2, written by James Tynan, with art by Alvaro Martinez and Raul Fernandez. And then the Justice League Odyssey, written by Joshua Williamson, Stepan Sejic on art. Man, that art by Sejic is so amazing. That guy is so super talented. So yeah, and Mr. Miracle's drawing close to a close as well, written by Tom King, Mitch Gerrards. Issue 11 is out in August. And that's it. That's all I got. Anything else you want to add, Manny?
Heck yeah. I want to add, I'm actually kind of curious to see what the heck this Injustice versus the Masters of the Universe is, written by Tilly, and then artwork by Freddie Williams II. That looked interesting. And then also, this book was recommended to me. It looks pretty interesting. I might have to go back and read a couple of issues, but Mother Planet, Gotham AD number 6, Jody Hauser, and artwork by Ibrahim Mustafa. And that looks really interesting. I'm gonna go back and pick it up. And then I can't believe that you don't have Plastic Man number 3.
Ah, I forgot about Plastic Man.
Yes, Simone, Adriana Mello. And yeah. Alex Ross covers.
Yeah, so, Plastic Man issue 1 was really, really good. Nick didn't like it. Did you read it?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. I liked it fine.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Thanks for pointing that out.
And then one of my favorite books, Red Hood and the Outlaws. It's up to 25. Scott Lobdell and Dexter Sawyer on artwork. And so I think after this one, also there's going to be the annual Red Hood and the Outlaws annual number 2, Scott Lobdell with Clayton Henry. Something's going to happen, and the month after this, Red Hood getting a new costume. And I've seen it online. It's really, really interesting. And so I'm going to have to check that out. And then one that you skipped over, which I've really, really enjoyed. It's really strange, but I've liked it a lot, is Eternity Girl number 6. Magdalene Bisiago, and then artwork by Sunny Liu. It's really funny. The description of the book is, this issue, everyone will die. That's it. So I'm very, it's 6 out of 6. So it'll be interesting if everyone does die. It's kind of like, oh wow, that's a nice spoiler you gave there. And then I'm still on board with Green Arrow, even though now it's once a month. It's been once a month for a few months now. Julie Benson and Shauna Benson.
Oh, yeah,
I forgot. By Javier Fernandez. I love the character. I love what they've done with him so far. And just continue to be on board with that one. And then also, I don't know if we skipped over it or you mentioned it. Plastic Man, Red Hood.
Yeah, I totally forgot about Green Arrow. I think this is Julie and Shauna's first issue on that, so I'm definitely going to be picking that up and checking it out.
I'm not sure if I got to go back and read anything, but Teen Titans 21, because Teen Titans is now written by Adam Glass and artwork by Bernard Chang, variant covered by Babstar. So yeah, Adam Glass, love his writing. So him on Teen Titans sounds like a really, really good idea. And the last thing I want to mention, which my daughter and I were super excited for, it's not even a comic book. It's actually a Mad Magazine property that they're going to be releasing. It's called Don't Let the Penguin Drive the Batmobile. Now, I have a 7-year-old who loves the series, the Pigeon series, where it's like, the pigeon needs to take a bath. Pigeon finds a, like, I don't know, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, don't let the pigeon drive the bus.
Yeah. So this one is, it's an unauthorized parody of Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus. But this one is Don't Let the Penguin Drive the Batmobile. And so because we're so into those books, when we go to the bookstore and we have a couple of them, my daughter and I are really looking forward to this, just because it's a mixture of two worlds coming together. That one we're really, really into. And then have you read any of this, the new Challengers?
Yeah, I read the first two issues. Their first one was pretty good. Second one was kind of a, I wouldn't say a letdown, but it didn't grab me the way the first issue did. So I'm still on board for 3. We'll see how it goes. I think it's supposed to be 4 issues or 6 issues total. It's mostly Aaron Gillespie handling the writing with kind of an assist by Scott Snyder. Aaron Gillespie was in the DC like writers program or whatever that Scott Snyder teaches. So I guess he did a good enough job to get a chance to write the book with Scott. And the fact that it's V. Ken Marion taking over on art, I think with issue 3, I'm going to pick it up. I was already picking it up, but I'm going to stick with it because, it's V. Ken Marion. So.
Okay. And then the last one I'm going to mention is Trivix number 7, Jeff Lemire, one of my favorite writers. And artwork and covered by Dale Eaglesham. So Tom Strong is obviously in this issue. and we've already seen it before in the first issue. So yeah, Terrifics has been great.
It's been good. I wish it was moving a little faster.
Oh yeah, I do too. It does seem a little slow.
Yeah, I also want to mention, I forgot about this, Shade the Changing Woman, number 6, written by Cecil Castellucci, art by Marley Zarcone. Spoke with Cecil at Denver Comic Con. This finishes up the series and finishes up the story that Cecil and Marley wanted to tell. So I know all the Young Animal titles are ending, but I want to be sure everybody understands that this would have been the ending anyway for the Shade story that Cecil and Marley wanted to tell. They weren't rushed at all. They didn't have to cut anything. So that's been a pretty popular series, actually. A lot of people have been checking it out. And then I thought there was one other. The Silencer has an annual with a really cool cover by Tyler Kirkham. And I also wanted to mention that guy Cullen Bunn is at it again with the Suicide Squad annual that he's writing with art by Ronan Clique. And we didn't mention Superman 2 or Superman 1002.
Or Action.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Action 1002 and Superman 2, we didn't really mention. Because honestly, I'm not sure what to think about Brian Michael Bendis on Superman.
Right?
it's kind of still too soon to say. So I guess we'll have to wait and see on that one. And then I should mention also the Wildstorm 16. The Wildstorm title by Warren Ellis with art by John Davis Hunt has been absolutely incredible. I've been digging it. Now, granted, I didn't have a whole lot of knowledge about the Wildstorm universe from the first go round, like when it was still Jim Lee or whatever. Because I have heard some pushback from fans of the original Wildstorm that are like, it's too different. So they're not able to have a point of reference and they haven't liked it. So I've been thinking, I think it's been really great. So has the Wildstorm Michael Cray. Issue 10 comes out, written by Brian Edward Hill. Obviously we're fans of some of these people, you can tell because we keep saying their name over and over, but that's been a great series. It's been, Brian being able to take the heroes and kind of flip them and have Michael Cray go up against him. So he fought like an evil Aquaman, he fought an evil Flash. He's kind of in the middle of fighting an evil Wonder Woman right now with the help of a somewhat less evil John Constantine, kind of. I've never been a fan of Constantine, but this version of Constantine that Brian created, this is the first version of Constantine that I've liked and been interested enough that it's a version of Constantine that I would actually like to read more about. And I'll just leave it at that. And we got a lot of Batman trade paperbacks in the back, like a lot of Batman trade paperbacks in the back. There's a Batman Hush Unwrapped. There's a Batman Prelude to the Wedding. There's a wedding album. We've got a Before Watchmen Omnibus. We've got a Dark Knight Master Race trade paperback. So yeah, there's a lot of good Batman content and other content as well, like Justice League No Justice, and all the usual titles with their latest trades in the back of the book. So I think that's definitely going to do it. This is one of the longer previews episodes we've done, or future picks episodes we've done. I think it just goes to show just how much good content there is coming out in August, which is kind of strange. Usually August is kind of a down month, right? Like everybody's trying to recover from San Diego Comic-Con, and there's not really a lot of news or series. It's like usually not until September when that stuff starts coming out, like stuff announced at Comic-Con. So like you announce it at Comic-Con, then you release your solicits, and then the stuff comes out in September. It's like everything got moved up a month this time. So anything else you want to add, Manny? Anything we forgot or skipped or...
No, I think that covers it all. But yeah, you're right. It's weird because I mean, there's no big event for DC in September, huh? Last year we had like Metal. We had we've had Villains Month. We've had a bunch of that. Doesn't seem like they're doing anything this year.
Yeah, we had the Forever Evil.
Yeah,
we had the other lenticular covers.
The future one.
Yeah, Future's End or whatever it was.
Yeah.
We had the Zero issues all come out one September. We had all the number ones come out one September. So yeah, it's kind of weird that there's not a big event, but I'm fine with that. Fine with
DC. Marvel's not rebooting.
Yeah, they had a number of number ones as they usually do. So anyway, we want to thank everyone for listening as always. We are available on iTunes and Stitcher. No, we don't always mention that, but we want to make sure everyone's aware. Because we also want to ask you a favor. We want you to go over to those places, go to Stitcher, go to iTunes, and give us a rating. Let people know what you think. That really helps out, especially on iTunes. 5-star ratings kind of boost our profile. Like we get listed higher up on the list of podcasts, comic podcasts, and all that stuff. So take a few minutes and go over there and rate us. We really, really appreciate it. And tell your friends about us and the other guys at your comic shop. Numbers continue to grow, so we're very, very grateful for all that, and we appreciate all the support. So you can go to iTunes, you can go to Stitcher, you can find previous episodes there, or you can go to lrmonline.com for all past episodes of the podcast. While you're there, you can check out all of LRM Online's other coverage of pop culture things like movies, TV shows, all that kind of good stuff. Don't forget that I'm going to be at Amazing Las Vegas Comic-Con coming up this weekend. So if you're going to be there, let me know. Love to meet you and hook you up with a free lanyard. Also, Manny and I will both be at San Diego Comic-Con coming up in the middle of July, 18th through the 22nd. So 5 days of crazy comics and movies and TV shows and interviews and just a whole heck of a lot of nerdy fun. So really looking forward to it. And all the content that we will generate for you. So if you want to be sure to follow along with us while we are covering those shows, twitter.com/thecomicsource is where we can be found on Twitter. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. And as I said, it's really a great spot to follow us when we are covering conventions, as well as to find out whenever we are releasing new episodes. So as always, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.